What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
Concept we like to call repentance. Okay, how many of y'all have ever heard of repentance? Yes, a lot of times we can feel like repentance kind of sounds like, you know, the moment in youth group where, you know, everything's really sad and you write down all your sins and you nail them to the cross, you know, and it's like weepy, and that's good. Honestly, I endorse those moments. I can't tell you how many note cards I've nailed to the cross with all my sins on them. It's authentic every time, I tell you. This is a little bit different though. We're going to talk about the concept of clean breakup. So I want everybody to stand on your feet. This is round two. This is like, basically, this is like a street fight version of teaching. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to just get wild, go crazy on this next chapter. So we're going to read that big bold paragraph that says, when you encounter Jesus. You see that? Okay, let's do it. One, two, three. When you encounter Jesus at salvation, you will be struck with the reality of your old life. You will no longer want to live like you did, but you will now want to live your daily life with Jesus. This is a cataclysmic explosion. Wait a second, let's say that again. Cataclysmic explosion. One, two, three. This is a cataclysmic explosion on the inside of you, where your heart comes into contact with Jesus and you will want to leave behind the past. Woo! How many of y'all felt last night you had a cataclysmic explosion on the inside of your gut? Man, I know I did. Okay, let's keep reading that next paragraph. It says, when the love of God fills you, you see it? All right, one, two, three. When the love of God fills you from the inside out, it causes you to suddenly realize that all you want to do is run from your old life and chase Jesus. This is part of salvation, and it is called repentance. Everybody say repentance.
Repentance.
Let's keep going. At salvation, the Holy Spirit, which is the very Spirit of God, comes into your life to help you walk out your new relationship with Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you will begin to feel great conviction about sin. The Holy Spirit will not only help you feel conviction, but He will empower life change as you choose to walk in new obedience to Jesus. Woo! All right, sit down. Come on. Guys, at salvation, what this is saying is at salvation, you can't stay the same. Yeah. Right? Something happens in us where we're saying, you know what? I'm not just asking God to save me so that I can go back to the same old things. I want Him to save me because I want a new life in Jesus. Okay. What can happen, though, at salvation, right? The reality is sometimes, although God does a supernatural work in our hearts, sometimes we have old habits, right? How many of y'all have had a habit that's kind of just like, man, this is just a habit in my life and I'm kind of trying to break it? You know what I mean? But it's kind of hard to break and you're like, gosh, I keep doing this thing, right? Sometimes, you know, in our lives, sin can be kind of like that old habit where it's like, man, you know, I want to live for Jesus, but I kind of also want to do this thing. Because I kind of like it. You know, but I want to have, you know, Wednesday nights, I feel it every time. But then throughout the rest of the week, I kind of want to go and live my own life again. And we can see this kind of back and forth thing and start living just kind of this double life where on Wednesdays and Sundays, we're Christians. On the rest of the week, we're kind of going back to our old life. And what it is it's kind of like a middle school relationship. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever either been in a middle school relationship or have known someone that was in a middle school relationship, right? And, you know, it's like, I tell you, there's no whirlwind of emotion and, you know, hormones like middle school relationships, right? It's like a movie where, you know, I don't know, like just someone, you know, comes in the classroom door and it's like, you see them, they're the most beautiful person that's ever existed. You just hear the angels singing, you see the beam of light, and you're just like heart eye emoji over your face in love. Right? And they're just like, I'm gonna marry them. Right? And it's so intense, you know? And they're, you know, if they're a really courageous middle schooler, they might walk over and be like, hey. Maybe you wanna, I don't know, sit together at lunch? And then she might be like, sure. Right? And then they're like, oh my gosh, we're dating. This is awesome. Right? And it's like, you know, you go, your first date is at the lunch table. And you're like, I got you, babe. Yeah, one piece of pizza on me. You know, you bought her lunch, and all of a sudden, the love whirlwind has begun, right? But then, guys, what is kind of the key characteristic of middle school relationships? They don't last, right? They do not last. You're in love for 2 weeks, you think you're gonna marry him, and then it's like, oh my gosh. He took 15 whole minutes to text me back. And I said, Johnny, if I'm not a priority in your life, then I'm not gonna be in your life at all. You know, he texted me the other night and he said he was sorry, so we're back together, right? And we can see this kind of back and forth thing, and it's called a messy breakup, right? How many of y'all have ever seen a messy breakup before? Guys, I had a best friend growing up. All right, his name was Jerome.
Shout out Jerome,
all right? And look, he had this iconic relationship when we were in middle school with this girl named Gina. Okay, and Jerome and Gina, they were dating, you know, and it was just always this back and forth thing. You know what I'm saying? They're just in love 1 minute, hate each other the next. When they're back in love, and then they hate each other, and I just had enough of it. Right? And so I remember this one day, you know, Jerome, he calls me, and he's like, Chip, I'm done. I am done with Gina, bro. I am done. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I'm done, Gina. No, I am ticked, and I'm done. Gina, she was supposed to pick me up. Well, she can't drive, but her mom was supposed to pick me up from baseball practice at 4:30. And she didn't get there until 4:35. And so we're done. I just had enough, you know, with her lateness, right? And so I'm like, well, dude, finally, honestly, I don't know if that's a good reason to break up, but I've just had enough of your relationship. So please, just be done, right? He's like, no, this is it this time. This is for real. We're broken up forever. I'm like, dude, hallelujah, bro. Why don't you come over to my house? Look, man, we're going to celebrate. We're going to get some pizza. Okay, we're going to watch, like, I don't know, the new Spider-Man or something. I don't know. We're just going to celebrate, all right?
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. I'll be over in like 2 hours, okay? Oh, but bro. And I'm like, what? He's like, dude, I left my Justin Bieber CD collection at your house. I'm like, dude, you still have CDs? And he's like, no, yeah. And I was like, bro, you have Spotify. Like, you don't even need those. It doesn't even matter. He's like, no, bro, they're signed by Justin Bieber. I was like, dude, those are fake, bro. You just need to get rid of them. You just need to leave them there. He's like, no, dude, look, I just gotta go over to Gina's house, gotta get my CD collection, and then I'll be right over, dude, I promise. And I'm like, bro, I just know if he goes over there, he's gonna get swooped in. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, dude, don't do it. He's like, no, I'll be super quick. And I'm like, bro, whatever, man. Okay, I'm gonna time you though, so you better be over. He's like, all right. Okay, so Jerome, right, gets in his mom's car, goes over to Gina's house, and he knocks on the door. It's a really weird sounding door. And who answers the door? What happens? He's like, hey, I'm here to pick up my CD collection. And she's like, okay, they're just inside. They're actually playing. I'm playing, actually. It's Justin Bieber CD marathon, so let me just get it for you. But then, the smell of cookies is coming out of the house. She's making freshly made chocolate chip cookies. And she's like, we're gonna come in. And he goes inside. Right? She's like, here's some chocolate chip cookies baked fresh for you. And in that moment, he's like, thanks. Starts eating cookies. And how many of y'all know, once you eat your favorite chocolate chip cookie, it's basically done, right?
It's over.
Right, she goes, gets the CDs, you know, he eats like five or six cookies, way too many. Right, they go back out the door, and he's like, somehow miraculously, he's almost made it out of there. And she starts to hand him the CDs, right?
She touches his hand.
He reaches out. And what happens? The touch of the fingers. And it was like electricity hit his mind, his heart, and his body. And he said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got so mad at you. And she was like, I'm sorry I was 5 minutes late. And what happens? Jerome never shows up. He's gone. He goes back inside, eats the rest of the cookies. They're back together. I'm so mad, and my whole childhood is ruined, basically. Right? And so what that is it's called a messy breakup. Everybody say messy breakup. How many of y'all have witnessed a messy breakup? How many of y'all have maybe had a messy breakup? Right? Honestly, let me be honest. Right? Guys, what can happen is that our life with sin can be like a messy breakup. Everybody say, oh no! Right? And we're going back and forth, can't decide, man, do I want to live for Jesus or do I want to do my own thing? And we can end up living out a messy breakup, okay? But what we want is a life that is a clean breakup with our life of sin. A clean break with our old life so that we can chase new life in Jesus. Is that what y'all want to hear? Do we want a clean breakup?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to keep reading here a little bit. Let's stand on our feet. Okay, we're going to read page 19, the second paragraph on the left. It says, at salvation we repent. You see that? Are y'all ready? Okay, one, two, three. At salvation we repent. Stop right there. Let's read that again. At salvation we repent. This is a clean breakup with our old life. The results of a clean breakup with the sin of your old life is what the Bible calls the fruit of repentance. Let's keep going. Repentance is not about feeling busted or being gripped with endless sad feelings. This kind of repentance is about sadness over the consequences of our sin. And it stops short of the necessary commitment to renounce the sin and run after the new life of obedience to Jesus. When we're grieved over the sin of our past, it leads us to the cross to ask and receive full forgiveness. Okay, stay standing. I'm going to get somebody to read this 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Bro, can I get you to read that for me? Can I hold it? For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. But worldly grief produces death.
Come on.
Let's give it up for Isaiah right now. Okay, y'all can have a seat. I'm going to read this next paragraph. It says, how can we turn to Jesus for salvation, yet at the same time not turn from the very sins that we're asking God to save us from? At salvation, we are turning from our old sinful life and immediately asking Jesus to guide and direct our life. So, what this is saying, guys, is that when we're asking Jesus to forgive us of our sin, we're saying, God, we're recognizing that the wage of sin is death. Right? We don't seek forgiveness for our sins in order to continue to sin. Does that make sense? The forgiveness of Jesus is not an opportunity to continue to, again, live as a slave to sin.
Yes.
The forgiveness of Jesus is a clean break with our old life. And it's not a requirement to be perfect, right? God isn't all of a sudden saying, now that you sin, or now that you're saved, you can never sin again. Because the reality is, how many of y'all know we're all human? How many of y'all know humans aren't perfect? Right?
No, we're not.
And so the reality is sometimes we're going to still mess up, but it's saying that, you know what, even though I'm a human and I'm imperfect, I'm having a clean breakup with my old ideology, saying that, you know, I want to live and give myself and seek fulfillment in other things, but I'm seeking fulfillment in God alone, and I'm striving to live a life that is in alignment with Jesus rather than in alignment with the world. Okay, so again, like this said, sometimes, you know, repentance can feel like this big, weighty, sad thing, right? And it feels like just these intense moments where it's like, God, I messed up again, you know? And it's this intense, like, guttural, shame thing where it's like, I messed up, I'm sorry, God. And I've had a million moments like that, right? Where it's like, gosh, I just feel guilty. But the reality is that Jesus has wiped away our guilt.
Yeah.
Right? When we get saved, our guilt is gone. God has forgotten about our sin. So what repentance is actually like the best day of your life. Right? Because sin leads to death, but life with Jesus is pure life, and it's the best day of your life. So what happens at repentance is we're actually trading death for life. So how many of y'all know that is a good day? How many of y'all know it's a joyful thing when we're turning from death to life? Does that make sense? So we have a concept that we call joyful repentance. Everybody say joyful repentance.
Joyful repentance.
I say that again, joyful repentance.
Joyful repentance.
So repentance is not a sad, heavy thing. Repentance is actually a joyful thing where we're saying, God, thank you. I don't have to live in my old life anymore, but I can have new life in you, Jesus, and I want to chase you forever. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, we're going to go into some kind of practical application. Everybody say practical.
Practical.
Okay, I'm going to invite KJ up here. Woo! She's going to kind of take us in to the practicals of how to repent and what that looks like to have a clean breakup with sin and your old life.
Yeah!
Let's give it up for KJ. Actually, 1 second. How many of y'all thought her message last night was just explosive?
Yeah!
How many of y'all learned something new and were impacted and felt like, man, that was a life-changing message last night?
We need to stop because I'm going to lose my reward in heaven. Don't cheer for me. Cheer for Jesus.
Yeah!
Okay, guys. Can we give it up for Chip? That was such a good teaching. Okay, here's the thing. The mornings here at Riders Youth Camp are all about training and activation. Okay, everyone say training and activation.
Training and activation.
Okay, the nights are a place for encounter, going deep, and responding to the altar call. But this morning is all about equipping you guys to be able to take what you're learning and take it home and actually apply it to your life and teach it to your friends and other people. So it's so key that you guys lean in for these mornings, because these mornings are actually going to sustain the encounters that you have at night.
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why we do a balance of both those kind of those moments of preaching and response, but then also we need you guys to take a hold of the tools that we're handing you, because I don't know if you guys know this, and I'm going to go into what Chip was talking about in just a minute, and we're going to go into some repentance, and it's going to be super fun. But I want to say something really quick before we even go into that, because I want to give context just a little bit. So can you just pivot with me for a second? I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about this really quick. So I don't know if you guys know this, but Riders Youth Camp, it's named Riders Youth Camp because every single one of you guys in this room is a part of a God storyline that you're probably not even aware of, okay? I'm going to explain myself. So we're a part of a ministry, but it's more of just like a family in California. We all live in California. We're full-time missionaries, and our family is called the Circuit Riders, okay? And does anyone know what a Circuit Rider is? Yeah? Okay, you know what the modern-day Circuit Riders are? Obviously, that's us. Right? Obviously, that's me. That's my friends here, the staff, the whole modern-day circuit riders. Has anyone heard of, like, the original circuit riders? Like, the old-school circuit riders? Besides our staff. You. Okay. What's your name? What is it? Yale? Okay, can you stand up? And can you tell us, what were the original circuit riders? Who were they?
Here, I'm going to give you the mic.
Take us in.
Original circuit riders, right? There are people who rode on horsebacks, and they traveled everywhere across the states. And they were given, because it was so poor, like, they didn't receive enough money. So basically, they're like volunteering to spread messages across wide. So they spread messages to other continents, to like other places, very far places. And those were the original circuit riders. People who rode on horsebacks and were missionaries that and really gave all they had to God and really trusted them.
Yeah! Come on, that's fire. That's better than I could have done. That's awesome. Okay, guys. So yes, the original circuit riders were these revivalists. They would describe them in history books as like the grittiest, most hardcore, intense preachers in the nation, really. They started in England, and they caught so much fire for revival. They began to travel around with what little money they had. They gave everything to Jesus, just like we were talking about last night. And they rode on their horses, and they would go town to town, city to city, and even the farthest out towns and cities they would go to, even if it was like for 10 people, they wouldn't withhold anything. They would give everything just to reach the one. And so these circuit riders were actually the people who ushered in the first and second Great Awakening in America. Okay, so if you know a little bit about history, there are these massive revivals throughout history where you have like revival and you have years and years where it's kind of like the nation needs to turn back to God, and then all of a sudden God will pour out his spirit and his power. People will get saved in masses, and then it will kind of be another break, and then it will happen again. And so there's these two really famous revivals which really brought the nation of America into God. And so even the things that are kind of our foundational truths and principles, like the Constitution and all those different things, those people were influenced by these preachers, these circuit rider preachers, that would get on their horses and they would ride and they would go to these circuits, which is why we call them circuit riders, right? But circuits are just basically they're like a route that they would go on. So these circuit riders, they would have their route, they would have their circuit, and they would go back every single year, every 3 months, they would go back and they would preach again. So they just continued to go and just continued to preach. And so I don't know if you guys probably don't know this, but the reason that we have a ministry now called the Circuit Riders is because in 2010, there was a crazy encounter with God, where God came and he showed himself to one of these women in YWAM, which is a missions organization that we're a part of, and they were in Kona, Hawaii, and the Lord came and visited her and said, I want to raise up new circuit riders that are going to be filled with fire in their eyes, and they're going to crisscross the nation, and they're going to be preaching messages on the releasing of the glory of God. And as these circuit riders preach, the fire is going to spread across America, and then it's going to go into the nations. So this was a real moment with God, where God literally visited this woman and spoke these words to her and showed her that there was a new movement of circuit riders that were going to be raised up to usher in the next great awakening. And I don't think you guys realize this, but every single one of you in this room right now, you are circuit riders.
Yes!
Yes! Say, I'm a circuit rider. And so we're talking about vision, we're talking about purpose, we're talking about training and equipping. And so I want you guys to really grasp that this is not just like a random accident that you guys are at this camp specifically. That God spoke in 2010, and there were like 15 people in the beginning, and they were all like, yes, God, we believe that we're going to see revival in America. We're going to see revival in these circuits. And the Lord said to us that the circuits were college and high school campuses. So that next year, we started just traveling to colleges and high schools. This is 10 years ago. We started traveling to colleges and high schools, preaching the gospel. We met Brian Barcelona, who is the father of One Voice. You're going to hear from him later this week. He's amazing. Some of your guys' staff are a part of his ministry. So we met them, and we began to travel to high schools and colleges, and we began to see revival break out on these campuses, mass salvations, healings, people being baptized in fountains, crazy miracles, signs and wonders, and campuses began to experience salvation and revival. And so up until this point right here, we have not had a youth camp for circuit riders, but you guys are the original circuit riders that God is raising up in this hour to go to your high schools. This is a crazy moment. Some of you guys thought you came here because your mom wanted you to come. Some of you guys thought you came here because you wanted to have a fun week, but actually you came here to receive the DNA and the mantle of the Circuit Riders. And you guys later this week are going to be equipped and trained to go back to your schools and to bring everything that you're learning here back to your friends, back to your communities, back to your churches. And so we're going to start calling you guys Circuit Riders.
Come on.
I just want to tell you. I just wanted to give you an explanation because you guys are all Circuit Riders. So Circuit Riders, are you here? Right here with me?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah!
Okay. All right, we're going to keep talking about the Circuit Riders throughout the week, but I just wanted to give you guys a quick history lesson and some context about why it's even called Riders Youth Camp and why you guys, even with on your shirts right now, like, you are riders.
Yeah.
You are riders. You're the ones that God was talking about 10 years ago when he visited us, and he said, I'm raising up new Circuit Riders with fire in their eyes that are going to be sent to their campuses, and they're going to usher in revival, and the fire is going to spread across high schools and colleges in America and into the nations. So you guys didn't know this, but you just got caught up in a God storyline.
Yeah,
so here we are. All right. That's all I want to say about that. Okay, can we go back to repentance? Can we go back to clean breakup? Okay, everyone say clean breakup. I love what Chip said because every single one of us, if we're honest probably, has had like a messy breakup in our lives with sin or even maybe with a relationship. I don't know. I've definitely had messy breakups in my life. But there's so many times where it's like we kind of want to hold on to our sin. And like for some reason we think that it's going to bring us life. Or we kind of like find pleasure or joy in sin. There really is pleasure in sin, but it's earthly pleasure. So it's not going to last forever, and it's going to lead us to death. You know, the wages of sin is death. And so right now, I'm going to teach us a little tool called the four R's. Everyone say four R's.
Four R's.
Okay, guys, the four R's are literally like a golden key to breakthrough in your personal life. Yes, leader? Oh, he's got a notebook. He needs to take notes. He needs to take some notes right now. Does anyone else have their notebook? Okay, this would be the moment to write this down because this is actually life-changing. Close. You ready? Everyone ready? Hold up your notebook if you're ready. Okay, hallelujah. We're going to go. Okay, so basically the four R's is a tool to get you into a place of freedom in your life. Every single thing about the four R's was taken from Scripture. It was taken from the Bible. We broke it down and we put it into a bite-sized, chewable thing for you to be able to use every single day in your life. And let me tell you, the four R's is literally my best friend. The four R's is life-changing. All of your staff right now know I personally use the four R's in my life like every single day. Like literally every day. And it is the best, like most valuable tool I think that I have learned in the past 10 years, like in my relationship with God. So I'm building it up right now because it's actually going to change your life. And so we know, like what Chip said, freedom doesn't always have to look like a, you know, crazy repentance moment where you're weeping and sobbing and you get delivered, or, you know, freedom doesn't have to look like demons screaming and like exorcism, although sometimes it does look like that. Sometimes the power of God comes and demons really don't like that. That might even happen tonight. We'll see. We'll see what God does. But what we're about to do right now is going to set the stage for you to have actual freedom from bondage in your life. Because until you come to a place of repentance, it is literally impossible for you to be set free.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to let go of the strongholds and the sin in your life in order for God to come and rip those spirits out of you. You have to be willing to let go of the things that are holding you back, the sin that so easily entangles us, for the Holy Spirit to come. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does come and he leads us to a moment of repentance as he's ripping that stuff out of us. But it's actually way easier for him to come and set us free when our hearts are already in a place of desiring freedom. Okay? So that's what repentance is. So the word repentance literally means, I don't know if Chip just said this, but you're walking in one direction. And it literally means that you turn and you walk in the opposite direction. So that's like a physical representation of what repentance is like. I'm seeking this thing, but I realize that this thing is no longer serving me in my life, And I realized this thing is actually leading me to death, like that mirage we were talking about last night. So rather than continuing to pursue this thing just because it's comfortable and just because I kind of like it, I'm going to recognize that that thing's not good for me. And I'm going to turn from it and recognize that Jesus Christ is standing over there. And I'm going to run hard after him in the opposite direction. So that's what repentance is. So the four R's is this. You can write this down. Repent. That's number one. Receive is number two. Everyone say receive.
Receive.
Rebuke.
Rebuke.
Come on, you guys. You guys say rebuke a little louder.
Rebuke.
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 Rebuke. Okay. And then the fourth R is replace.
Replace.
Replace. Okay. You guys got that written down? Still writing? Okay. So for example, one thing in my life, can we just be honest in here? Like, I'm not perfect. Even though I'm standing up here and I'm teaching and I'm leading this camp, I am like the farthest thing from perfect, and I desperately need Jesus every single day in my life to live a holy life. Oh, hey, thank you. Shout out. I don't even know. Thanks, Zach. Give it up for Zach this boy. Okay. So for me, one of my main struggles in life is anger. So for me, I grew up in a home where my dad was pretty explosively angry all the time, kind of verbally abusive, and would say pretty crazy stuff. And how many of you know that when you grow up in a home like that or an environment like that, it's really easy for you to fall into those same patterns? Because when you learn that that's the way to respond to your feelings and emotions, it's pretty easy for you like to do the same thing because you don't know any other way. And then on top of that, there's these things called generational patterns, which get passed down, even spiritual things that get passed down. So for example, like if my, you know, great-grandma was a witch and she was doing crazy witchcraft all the time, I actually may have inherited some of the curses that happened in her life. And so I even believe that tonight God's going to set some of us free of stuff that we didn't even like want in our lives, but we actually inherited generationally. I think God's actually going to deliver some of us and set us free from some of those generational curses and patterns tonight. And so for me, one of the main things that I've fought in my life, like I said, generationally, is rage and anger. But then also that was what was demonstrated to me and I was taught. That's kind of the way you handle your emotions. When you get kind of mad at someone or when somebody hurts you, you have the right to hurt them back, right? You have the right to act however you want because you were hurt, right? And so for me, that's something I have had to overcome in my life. But one of the main ways in my life is like when I feel that trigger, you guys all know what it feels like to be triggered, right? In whatever thing. So you have anxiety, depression, whatever, and that's the stuff you're struggling with. You know what it feels like, that moment where it's like, oh, that's coming up right now. But what actually happens is in reality, in that moment, you can make a choice of whether you want to give yourself to that thing and just fully embrace it and live in it, or you can make the choice to resist the devil. And the Bible says that when those feelings come up and you're at that point of decision, the Bible promises that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Yeah.
Everyone say, resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
And he will flee.
And he will flee.
Say it again. Resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
And he will flee.
And he will flee.
So when you have that moment of trigger and you have that moment of like, I am at that point right now. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You're like, I'm at that point right now where I can choose to fully give myself to this thing in my life that I know is a stronghold for me, and I'm trying to actually break free of it. Or I can choose to go the other way and actually resist the devil, and actually he will start fleeing from me if I begin to resist him, because he will see that he can't mess with me anymore. So in those moments, that's where the four R's is so key. So for me, when I'm in that moment and I get triggered by whatever thing, and I'm like starting to feel my blood just boiling, like I'm just starting to like think of things in my head that I want to say, I'm starting to get ready to like release my anger on that person, or just to run my mouth or whatever it is, and you know, I'm just being super raw and super honest with you guys, because I think it's going to help you guys realize like I'm not perfect and we can actually all do this together. Is that okay if I talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, when I'm at that moment, I'm like, okay, I am going to choose right now, and I don't do this perfectly every time, but I'm going to choose right now to do the four R's, and I'm going to literally repent of my stronghold. I'm going to repent of the thing that I'm struggling with, because even if that thing is in my life because of injustice, which it is for me, you know, my dad was pretty abusive to me, and then I inherited these things I didn't even want. Even though that is true, my choosing to give myself to that thing is sin. So in my life, even if things are happening to me and they are causing me to have pain, which is causing me to act in sin, I'm not responsible for the pain or the injustice, but I am responsible for the way that I respond to the pain.
Right.
Does that make sense? And so in that moment when I'm like, oh, the pain is back, the thing is coming back, I'm going to choose to not give myself that thing. I'm going to choose to repent, Lord, of every way that I have sinned against you in my heart or in my mind, or I've entertained thoughts of anger, and I'm going to receive the forgiveness of God. I'm going to be like, thank you, Jesus, so much for dying on the cross for me, so that I no longer have to conform to the patterns of this world, or conform to the way that I inherited this anger, or conform to the way that I want to respond. I don't actually have to do that anymore. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that sets me free, and now I have power over that thing. So I'm going to receive forgiveness. The next thing I'm going to do is just recognize that as a Christian, I actually receive authority in Christ. The Bible says that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we're born again, we actually receive authority over darkness. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ, who has the keys and the victory over darkness and death. And so I think, like I said last night, my friend Amy Ward, when she says this, she says, I'm just going to repeat it. I know I said it last night, but it's so good, that the devil's biggest fear is that we would recognize who we are in Christ and become it. And so I think in those moments, it's so key when we're overcoming like strongholds and patterns in our lives to recognize who we are in Christ. And I think that when you know, if I could just imagine what's happening in the spiritual realm in that moment, those demons, they're seeing me recognize that I have authority, and they're seeing me recognize that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And when they look at me, they used to see me as like vulnerable and being able to like attack me. But now when I recognize who I am in Christ, they realize, oh no. I can't come at her anymore. I can't come at him anymore, because she or he is recognizing who they are in Christ. And so the demons start backing away, because they start realizing, oh man, they realize that Jesus put his spirit in them, and now I have to look at them the same way that I look at Jesus. Does that make sense? I think if we only knew how much authority we had over darkness, rather than giving ourselves to it, and we began to resist it in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, I think that we would be a lot less tormented in our lives. And so that's what rebuke is all about. It's about recognizing and gaining authority over darkness and telling those spirits that are coming at you, or those lies that are coming at you, that they have to leave in the name of Jesus. And guess what, guys? Spiritually speaking, Jesus is on the throne. So they know that, and they know that they actually have to leave. And it's actually that simple in that moment to take authority over those demons and those spirits that are tormenting you, that feel like impossible to overcome. But when you recognize who you are in Christ and you begin to actually walk in that authority, you will get free so quickly, you literally have no idea. Like today, you could be free of something that you've been struggling with and tormented by for 10 years. Literally, through the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. So that's what rebuke is. And then replace is so important. Replacing is, you know that scripture, and I kind of forget the reference, maybe someone can look it up for me, where it talks about when a house is cleaned out, and so it's talking about like a person as a house, and when that house has like spirits living in it, or demons living in it, or strongholds living in it, and then the house is cleared out, it says in the Bible that if you don't fill the house with the Holy Spirit, when you don't fill the house with truth and replace all of those lies and all of those spirits with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, then those spirits will come back 7 times stronger. I don't know about you, but I don't want my strongholds coming back 7 times stronger. Like, they're already really strong, and so I don't want them to be any stronger, you know? And so that's where the work of replacement comes in. So really simply, did you have a question, Lena? Okay. Really simply, what the four R's is literally, it's just a prayer tool where you for me, for example, I'm just going to do what I would do in my own life. I'm going to say, just so simple, it doesn't have to be emotional, it doesn't have to be crazy. I'm just going to go get by myself for a second or pull a friend aside and be like, hey, I like feel tempted right now to be angry. Or like maybe for some of you guys, I feel tempted right now to watch pornography. Or maybe for some of you guys, I feel tempted right now to like go into a place of hopelessness and depression. Or I feel tempted right now to go into an agreement with these lies of the enemy over my identity or self-hatred or in whatever thing it is. You're going to pull someone aside or you're going to go be with the Lord by yourself. And this is what I do. I say, Jesus, right now, Lord, I repent for every way I've given myself to anger. I repent for every way I've entertained angry thoughts or aggressive thoughts toward any person, Lord. I call it sin. It's so important that we call sin what it is. It's sin, but there's no shame attached to it. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So it's not hard to call it sin because I'm like, man, I'm imperfect. I'm just going to embrace that. So Lord, I call it sin. And God, thank you right now that I can receive your forgiveness. It's that simple, Lord. You died on the cross for me. Thank you for your blood, which is cleansing me even right now. Thank you that you've already removed my sin from me. You've already forgiven me. You've removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Jesus. I would just incorporate some scriptures into that prayer. Thank Jesus for his forgiveness. Then I would go sicko mode on the devil. Okay?
Sicko mode.
Everyone say sicko mode.
Sicko mode.
It is so important that when we are rebuking the devil, we are doing it with authority.
Yes.
The enemy is not stupid, right? He kind of is. Like he's stupid. But he also like knows. He's cunning, right? He's like a serpent. He's cunning. He's sneaky. What'd you say? He's been doing it for a long time. So he knows how he can get in our heads. And he can tell when we're operating in authority or not. I don't know if you remember in the Bible where it talks about the disciples that are like trying to cast out the demon and it won't leave. And you remember that? Yeah, and then Jesus is like, Jesus comes and just like casts out the demon so quick. And he's like, you guys weren't doing it with authority. And so you can rebuke a spirit and it won't leave. And you can recognize, oh, wow, maybe I'm like rebuking out of insecurity. Maybe I'm not rebuking an authority. Maybe I'm actually not walking in the fullness of who God created me to be. And so it's so important that as we're praying at the 4 hours, we're remembering and bringing to the forefront of our mind the fact that we have authority over darkness. Okay? Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
To rebuke the enemy.
To rebuke the enemy.
Okay? So for me in that moment, back to my prayer. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit of anger. I take authority over all generational curses of anger in my life. I take authority over every lie and tormenting demonic thought in my mind. I just say it has to go, and that's where this is where we come into breakup. Lord, I break up with the lie that I'm an angry person. I break up with the identity, with the enemy who tells me that I have an anger problem. I break up with that lie. I break and sever every agreement I've made with it in the name of Jesus. You have to leave now. I take full authority. Get out of my mind. Get out of my life. You are done, and you have no authority over me. That's how you rebuke. Okay? Do you see how I'm not just like, I just pray that you would help me, God, to just not struggle with anger anymore, Lord. And I just pray that right now, Lord, you would rebuke the devil. No, he gave you authority to bind and loose. And whatever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means whatever you bind in the spirit right now in prayer is being bound up and it actually has to go. So think of that thing in your mind right now that Jesus set you free from last night. I want you to bring that thing to your mind and I want you to practice even right now thinking, how would I take authority over that thing that Jesus set me free from? Because the Bible says that temptation is going to come, right? So just because we have a freedom moment right now doesn't mean that we're never going to be tempted again in that thing. Jesus himself was tempted. Being tempted is not sin. Falling into that temptation, giving yourself to that temptation, that's where we fall into sin. And if you fall into sin, get back up and keep going. 4 hours it and move forward. Don't live in condemnation. That's how the enemy gets back in, because then you have an open door. But, guys, it's so key that in order to maintain the freedom that we're getting in these altar call moments and in the prayer moments where we're actually feeling the power of God coming, we have to be able to maintain it through understanding our authority and rebuking the devil, like, for real. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, the last thing of the 4 R's is replace, okay? So replace is so key, and this is where I see so many people get so close to actually walking in total freedom in their lives, but they don't want to do the work.
Yes.
of me taking that freedom, okay? I don't know why. I think our generation, we are trained to believe that everything should just come instantly and it should be kind of easy because we have access to our phones. Like, I remember when I was in middle school, I'm gonna date myself right now. I'm old, guys. I'm older than you think I am. When I was in middle school, we used to have to use these things called encyclopedias, okay?
Yes.
And we didn't have Google.
Oh,
like, the internet wasn't a thing. I mean, it was kind of a thing, but it was called dial-up internet, and you could only get on the internet. Raise your hand if you know what dial-up internet is. Like, four of us, that's so sad. Oh no, oh no. Okay, so dial-up internet, you guys, is this thing where you can only be on the computer and like you couldn't be using the phone and the computer at the same time because the way to get on the internet was through your phone line,
yes,
through your landline. So a landline is something, a landline is when you have this phone that's literally connected to the wall and it's got a cord and you can't like go anywhere. You don't have a cell phone, you can literally only stand right next to the phone and talk
yes.
to people. And it's like your phone number that your whole family shares. It's
yes.
so weird. So weird. I can't believe we used to talk. What? Yeah, and so then someone else in the house, if there was another phone, could pick up and listen to your conversation. Because it's the same phone number. Man, this is really bringing me back. Okay, so back in the day, this is an education moment. This is not about 4 hours. But back in the day, we had this thing called dial-up internet. And so you used to have to talk, coordinate with the people in your house and say, hey, can I go on DisneyChannel.com and play the Lizzie McGuire game?
Yes.
Mom, I want to dress her up. I want to dress her up in her outfit. She's going to the mall today.
Yes.
So this is going over everyone's head. I love it. So I'm like, Mom, can I play Lizzie McGuire? And she'd be like, sure. I have a conference call with this thing at this time. Can you go play after? So I'd be like, sure. So then sometimes, though, I would get impatient. I would try to get on. And then it makes the most obnoxious sound when you pick up the phone and you're on the phone. It's like, that literally is what it sounds like. Do you want to play it?
Yeah.
This is just an education moment. I know I'm going off the script right now. But lately we've been talking a lot about dial-up internet. But anyways, it used to be actually really difficult to find things out. And it used to be like, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, this is the sound that it used to make on your phone if you were getting on the internet.
But this was also the sound that it made when you were like getting onto the internet, on the computer.
Yes. So this is the sound your computer would make if you clicked on Internet Explorer, which no longer exists. Johnny Depp. I don't know. Like, it was not easy to get those answers, and so I think our generation is kind of like trained to think that instant is good. Like, instant is expected, and if something doesn't come instantly and it's kind of hard and requires some effort, we kind of are like, nah, I don't really feel like doing that. You know what I'm saying? Is there anyone else in here that's like, I love instant? I love instant. Like, I like things being fast. I grew up with dial-up internet, so when I got my first iPhone, I was like, what is this world? This is amazing. No strange sounds coming from my phone. I love it. But all that to say that there is hard work that has to come when it comes to freedom. So it's like the encounter moment is amazing, the repentance moment is easy, the receiving is way easy because Jesus just made it so easy for us, the rebuke is so easy because we've got the Holy Spirit and we can tell the demons to flee, but the replace is where we actually have to put in work, okay? And we do not want those spirits coming back 7 times stronger because that would be horrible. I mean, just think about some of the struggles you guys have gone through. Do you want that to happen 7 times stronger? I don't. Like, I definitely don't. So that's where the hard work of replacement is so key. And what I mean by replacement. So let's say that I'm struggling with fear, okay? So when I'm replacing fear or anxiety. I'm actually going to find Bible verses that contradict my fear and anxiety and speak those things over myself. Like, and I might have to do that 25 times a day. Like, anytime my temptation for anxiety comes up, I'm going to recite the Bible verse that says, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. So rather than me giving myself to anxiety, I'm going to be replacing that lie with the truth of who God says that I am. It's so crazy, you guys, when we start reading the Bible, how it actually cuts to our hearts and it actually changes the way that we think.
Yes.
The Bible is alive and active. And so if you're not reading the Bible but you want to get freedom, you're not going to get it. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Freedom is not sustainable without the Word of God.
Yes.
Your freedom, your encounter at this camp, when you go home, you will be tempted. The Bible says, last night I talked about it, the Bible says that it's not if the storm comes, it's when.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you go home, I want to prepare you, I want to be honest with you right now. You're not going to go home and then for the rest of your life never be tempted ever again in Christ. Even if you're in Christ, temptation will come. The devil is, the Bible says this, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion ready to devour you. He wants to devour you. He wants to steal from your life. He wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy everything that God did at this camp. And so if you're not able to replace the lies of the enemy that God is setting you free from with the truth of who the scriptures say that you are, your life is actually being founded on sand. It's not just about the hype moments. It's not just about the altar call. You have to actually be willing to do the hard work to walk out your freedom.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this right now like intensely because I actually desperately want you guys to understand how much the Bible will change your life.
Yes.
I want you to understand that freedom is available and that you do not have to live in bondage anymore.
Yes.
You can walk in freedom, but it's going to take hard work.
Yes.
It's going to take putting practices and disciplines into place in your life so that you can actually sustain your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have a best friend or a squad of best friends? Okay. Squad? Okay. Here's my question for you. How often do you talk to your besties?
A lot.
Like how much?
Every day.
Every day? Every other day? Like regularly, right?
I think about like 2 hours ago.
2 hours ago. Okay, so that's amazing. So how many of you want to be besties with God? Like, I want God to be my best friend. I want to know Jesus personally. But if I never actually spend time talking to him or reading his word, which is literally his heart written out for me on paper, like the word of God is like, some of you guys want to have an encounter with Jesus, but you haven't opened your Bible in like 7 months. And you're like, why isn't God speaking to me? I'm like, well, literally, this is not this, but let's pretend this is the Bible. This is the number one way God speaks to me in my life. The number one way by far. And yes, I have had spiritual encounters where the Lord spoke to me inaudibly. Those moments have been so rare in my life, but I've been walking with Jesus now for 6 years, and I maybe have had like 5 times where I actually heard God speak to me or had like a crazy vision for my life. Most of my walk with God is sustained by loving and reading his word. Because that is where true life is found. When you know the word, you're literally, like, God basically made it so easy for us to know him. He's like, okay, this is everything about me. I'm going to write it for you and you can order it on Amazon. You don't even have to use dial-up internet. You can literally go on your phone right now and order one of these on Amazon for like 10 bucks. You can, and you know what? Here, even easier. There's something called the Bible app, and you can download it on your phone and literally read it every single day, every single morning, and that is going to actually sustain your walk with God. Don't tell me you're pursuing God if you're not reading your Bible. Just don't tell me. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's honestly a lie. If you don't read the word, you are not pursuing God with your whole heart. And guess what the Bible says? The Bible says those who seek with all of their heart will find.
Off.
It doesn't just say those who show up to youth camp and church on Sundays and worship and raise their hands and worship and cry a little bit at the altar are seeking God and they will find him. It says those who seek with all of their heart will find him. And so there are things that God has given us, tools that God has given us, like his word, which is probably the number one tool that he has given us. And if you say that you're seeking God without using the number one tool that he has given you, I think that you might be lying. I'm just going to be honest. If you want Jesus, you need to pursue him. You need to pursue him with everything, and he will come.
Yes.
I promise you, he will come. It's a promise of scripture. And so the same thing with freedom. If you want freedom, but you're not willing to do the hard work of reading your word and replacing the lies that the enemy is giving you with the truth of who the scriptures say you are, you're not actually pursuing freedom, and you don't really want it that bad. I'm sorry. It's pretty easy for some of us to open the internet and go to whatever weird website and pursue that stuff. But then we're like, we want freedom. I want freedom. I want it so bad. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you called a friend and prayed with them? When's the last time that you literally like held yourself accountable for real and put accountability in your life? Guys, there is a true pursuit of freedom. There's a true pursuit of God, but you have to be willing to pay the cost, because it does cost something. It costs comfortability. It costs like safety. It costs all these. It costs stuff, and the Bible says that it's costly to follow Jesus. So it says every single day you have to die to yourself. That's like a gnarly thought. Every morning you have to wake up and crucify your flesh. You need to take up your cross and you need to follow him. He took up his cross for us, so we need to take up our cross for him, right? And it's going to cost us something, but I promise you the reward of freedom is so worth it, and you can find it. So can we all stand up right now? We're going to pray together. We're going to do a little 4 R's. And then this afternoon in our small groups, we're actually going to really go after the 4 R's of the things that we're really struggling with and the things we actually want to get freedom in our lives. Or, you know, some of you guys shared like, hey, God set me free of this, God set me free of that. So we're going to learn how to sustain that freedom this afternoon. Does that sound good? You guys stoked on that? Okay, I'm sorry if I was too intense. I'm sorry. I can get so crazy sometimes, and it's just because I love you guys, and I really want you guys to walk in freedom. Okay, so are you ready for the 4 R's? Okay, what should we do the 4 R's on?
Fear.
Fear?
Yeah.
Who in this room has ever struggled with fear?
Can we stand on the chairs?
Yes, we're going to stand on the chairs.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready to go buck wild?
Yeah!
Okay, everyone stand on your chair. Stand on your chair. Okay, guys, I promise you, the first time that I did the 4 R's, I was standing on a chair in front of 100 people, literally, like me, and then 100 people watching me, and I was like, I just rebuke rejection now in Jesus' name. I'm worthy of love. And I literally started screaming, I'm worthy of love, and I felt chains break off of me. Chains are going to break off of you right now. Do you guys have faith for that?
Yes.
This is a freedom moment. This is a real moment. It's not just like a demonstration. We're actually going to go after fear right now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Repeat after me, and we're going to kick fear out. Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Knock that thing out. Back to hell where it belongs. Are you ready? Yeah!
declare the truth over ourselves. But then I want you guys to go, if this is actually something you struggle with, I want you to go this afternoon, maybe over lunch, and look up Bible verses that replace fear with truth. And then you're going to begin to write those things out and repeat them over yourself. So this is where the hard work starts, but this is not it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're going to pray this out and declare it in faith, and we're going to start this process. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, right now.
Right now.
I replace. All fear.
All fear.
All anxiety.
All anxiety.
With the truth.
With the truth.
Of who God says that I am.
Of who God says I am.
I have not been given.
I have not been given.
Come on, guys, let's say this out. I have not been given.
I have not been given.
A spirit of fear.
A spirit of fear.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.